This special LRM Online podcast is brought to you by the great guys over at Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them a little later in the podcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this very, very special, I don't even know what to call it. I think it's going to be named something like Final Fantasy VII League 1 year later. I don't know, but it's a special podcast because today, ladies and gentlemen, April 10th marks one year later, there you go, since the release of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Definitely one of the coolest games to come out last year, and but by far one of the coolest games to come out period. But in celebration of this, I have asked my good friend Brian to come back on and talk about it, because a year ago, we waited till midnight, pre-installed the game, played for 8 hours, and then gave you guys a day zero review of Final Fantasy VII Remake. So, Brian, welcome back. I'm pretty stoked to talk about this game. What about you?
Yeah, man, definitely. You had texted me and was like, "Hey, do you want to do this?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." it was a great time, and it's crazy that it's been a year. It that's wild that it's been out that long. But yeah,
what's even crazier is just the fact of thinking back to 1997 and 98 by the time I actually got my PlayStation and my chance to play the game myself. The original game, the whole reason this remake exists is because, let's face it, Nintendo screwed the pooch with Sony. Sony goes off and does their own thing. Square Enix is like, "Well, fuck, guys, you're doing cartridges again? We don't want to do that. Have you not seen the shit we're working on? Okay, look. Go online. You guys can actually see the Nintendo 64 version of Final Fantasy VII. It is garbage. Like, sure, you could poke fun at, like, the overworld and dungeon map models, blocky characters, but the fights, the music, the full motion video, the FMVs that Square, at the time Squaresoft, now Square Enix, wanted so badly. Guys, Final Fantasy owes its continued existence to the same company helped keep it on the map, Nintendo. But this time, instead of being saved by Nintendo, by Nintendo doing good things, they were catapulted into the forefront of the Western world. The first real are a massively successful console RPG. Brian, talk a little bit about Final Fantasy VII OG, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a mind-blowing thing when it came out. Like, you know, if you're younger and you weren't around then, you have to understand that for us, we'd not seen anything quite like that at that time. And aesthetically speaking, it defined a generation. I mean, a lot of games came out after it that sort of ripped off sort of the look and sort of the whole the dynamic of what the game was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know a lot of younger people look at Kingdom Hearts and sort of the Final Fantasy VII stuff that was, you know, put in that, and that became really cool. And I think probably more people are familiar, younger generations, with that take on Final Fantasy VII as opposed to the actual original game, which is why this new game is so great. You know, a whole new generation gets to, you know, experience this this universe. But yeah, when I was young, I think we've talked about this, I actually played 8 before 7. Mm. I didn't get to 7 until, I remember I didn't have a PlayStation, and
yeah,
I didn't get one till around when 8 came out, and then I, of course, went back and played 7, and but I knew someone that had it. So I, you know, I, and in those days you would, similar to like how people watch Let's Plays now, you would go to your friend's house. So there were a lot of games that you experienced through your friend, and you would sit next to them and watch them play it. And that was one of those games for me. Ocarina of Time. I remember my cousin had gotten it. I watched him play through it, and then I played through it. But it was funny. It's funny to think that the idea of a Let's Play sort of existed when we were younger. Just it was you sat next to them, next to them. You know?
No, you're right, and you can't mention Final Fantasy these days without bringing up Kingdom Hearts. You're absolutely right on that, and that whole Let's Play idea. Matt and I, joint friend that Brian and I share from high school, and Brian, you were there too the day I brought the PlayStation Magazine article in.
I was sitting right there, sir. I remember.
We were all just like flabbergasted, like, what the fuck is Donald the Duck doing with a kid version of Titus or Titus, however you want to say it, from Final Fantasy X? What the fuck is going on here? And Matt and I went and got the game rented from Hollywood Video, I think, and brought it back to my house, put it in my PS2, booted it up. He started playing first, and we sat there. He played. I watched, and then when it was time for him to go, I just went and bought the whole game.
Yeah.
And played, and yeah. How hard was it to go from, because I know a lot of people love 8's story, but dude, I'm a grinder, and 8 punishes you for that.
Yes, it does.
I hate it.
Yeah.
How was that for you? That being like your first one since 5 or 6, I'm guessing.
Yes. So yeah, I to this day, that's why I wouldn't replay 8, solely for that reason. And maybe, I don't know, maybe with the, I don't know if they have any kind of adjustments to the battle system or how you level in that, but yeah, the you're right, it punishes you. Where 7, I remember listening to the radio. This is a true story. I remember getting up early, little kid, and I would turn on the radio. I don't listen to Howard Stern or something, and be playing like an hour before school and grinding in 7. Like, I remember doing that. Like that was a game where, you know, you got into it and I would set aside grinding time just to build up my characters. And it's crazy to think I went out of my way to wake up early before school to play a game, to grind in a game. That's how invested I was in that story and in that world.
Yeah. One of the best parts about it, and correct me if I'm wrong though, Ho, for 7 was that materia system. I mean, grinding was as much about your materia, which affects your stats and figuring out all those really cool combinations of, you know, this effect with this materia attached to a weapon or armor, like all of that fed into that grinding mechanic. And it's easy to see how the FMVs, which were used to sell the game. I know some people were upset when they got the game. Graphics were blocky, and they're like, "Where's all that FM? You know, stuff we saw in the commercials? It's there." But this game really managed to with those FMVs and its story that's all this game is. It is so burdened with story, even. And you're talking to somebody that, oh good God, I spend an average of 100 to 120 hours a year playing Final Fantasy VII on average. Last year, the first time, Brian, in a long time that I did not play all the way through the original game.
Yeah, he's not lying. I can vouch for this. He does, in fact, play it every year. Why not last year? Was it because you had already played the remake?
Yeah, it was basically like, I don't want to do Midgar anymore in the original.
Yeah.
It's at the point where remake, because I'm mostly threw my hard replay on it. And I want to get a new game started, because I usually grind before I leave the reactor. I'm usually at level 12 or 13, and you start on level 6 and get to 7 real fast. You can beat the Scorpion at level 8 easy, you know, and I'm running around grinding until I'm at like 12, 13 before I even fight the Scorpion,
I know you've dabbled in like speed running world a little bit, or you've looked into it. What's the speed run on 7, and have you ever looked at messing with that?
There's no way I would be able to.
I know there's a lot of glitching and you know, things like that.
I know I've seen people beat it in like less than 6 hours. Let's see. And it all depends on what the speed run is. Like you mentioned, glitches and things. Is it a speed run for with glitches, without? Is it the PlayStation 1 version? Is it the PlayStation 4 or computer version, where it's you got like a turbo speed button. You can move faster. 5 months ago, this is from speedrun.com, US PS2, any position, no slots, 6 hours, 59 minutes, 9 seconds. Yeah. Any percentage at all, PS2, 6:53. Let's see here. All bosses, no slots, PS2, 9 hours, 8 minutes. With the any percentage on PS4, 2 hours, 59 minutes. And that's because it's got that speed button.
Yeah.
So I've watched it. It doesn't seem fun. Like what Brian's talking about, I tried my hand at speed running on Resident Evil. And I got good. That was when I was dealing with horrific narcolepsy issues. My sleep schedule was all out of whack. I got good enough that I was doing under an hour and a half Resident Evil 2, Claire or Leon, and that was fun. But speed running an RPG doesn't seem fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like grinding, you know?
I just know you play it so much. Yeah. Just curious if you had even thought of that.
I'm such a completionist with it. I usually get two sets of master materia, one by getting the special items and the other by legitimately mastering all of the materia. You guys don't understand. I have gotten to level 50 before leaving disc 1.
Jesus.
So, let's revisit the night, Brian. April 9th, 2020. This is like right at the beginning of us realizing COVID is here in the United States and starting to, you know, make a mess of things. You and I made this plan to get the game digitally. I was really against it at first, and I just but we got it. We decided to play it. It was such a cool thing. We did the demo when it came out, and it was nice because this game offered more in the full release than what we got in the demo, even though it was still, the demo still was like the majority of this beginning of this game. I had no issues replaying the demo portion. I loved it from the get-go. I remember booting it up, like hanging up with you, and like the hairs on every inch of my body standing up as I hit play. And that start screen, dude, when it came up and the Buster Sword is there and the music starts playing before you hit new game, what were your feelings?
I was so ready to start it. I mean, we remember, you know, setting the scene. We were dealing
back in 2015.
We were dealing with COVID and stuff, and you know, it was a lot of struggles for various things. I'm not going to go into all that, but you know, job issues and you know, different things, and it was a rough patch, right? And the game, remember, had been released in certain parts early.
Yep.
And so we, at this point, people have been playing this game for a week or two in certain areas of the world. And I remember just being so frustrated that, you know, the game is out. Why not give it to us now? And they held, you know, for where we're at, you know, they held on to the last, you know, till the release date.
Mm-hmm.
And it pissed me off so much. And so we were sitting there that evening. I was so ready to play the game. I mean, I was just ready. I had been ready. And it was just, it's funny because we literally played, you're not exaggerating when you say like 8 straight hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall doing, I haven't done that in a long, long time. Mm-mm. where I pulled an all-nighter. I've done it in my life. Mm-hmm. But it had been a while since I had sat down and was like, yes, I'm gonna until the sun comes up, I'm going to play this game. And it was great. It reminded me of being young again, being a kid, you know, those mornings where the sun would come up and you'd be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
maybe I can get 30 minutes of sleep before school. It was like that, but you know, planned. And, it was great. It was a nice moment in a rough, rocky period of, you know, history.
Yeah. Like I said, all the hairs standing up. I love this series. I've got Final Fantasy tattoos, and so does Christine, and you know, it was a dream since they teased us with the PS3 tech demo opening. They redid the 7 opening cinematic for a tech demo for PS3, and then they put that at the end of Crisis Core, and then they nothing for years. All these spinoffs, sequels, watching a shitty game like 13 get all this love and attention, and in 2015 at Square Enix, or Square at Square at E3, Square gives this fucking presentation for World of Final Fantasy, a chibi little thing. And dude, I can't tell you how many times I've watched reactions. I have never outside of Star Wars have I seen people cry like I have seen and felt myself that amount of emotion as this game's trailer and release. Have you seen like the reactions and yeah, things like that? The people crying, dude.
This is something that had, you know, we've wanted, a lot of people have wanted for so, so long. And like you said, that original little tech demo thing, it was like, hey, this is cool, right? Too bad. Going back many, many years. This is one of those things that would come up in conversations amongst, you know, gaming communities, especially Final Fantasy fans, all the time. Why don't you remake 7? Why don't you remake 7? It's so
obvious. 4 hashtags.
You know, it's so obvious. Why not remake 7? So, yeah.
They did it, finally. So that night, we did our 8 hours, and one of the best things about that whole experience, while, yes, there were day zero patches and things like that, those can range from anything to as small as a audio bug that they found that they didn't even know would exist until, you know, it's something that happened in download, you know, a corruption of a file during downloads or installation or something. But this game did something, Brian, that you and I don't get very often these days, and that's, we weren't bogged down during those 8 hours with glitches and bugs. I don't even remember any issues that night. It felt like an unbroken game. I might have been wrapped up in it too much to notice some things, but can you recall any issues with 7 Remake when it first came out?
No. And if there was anything, it was so minor, I don't remember it. I don't believe I had a single crash. I don't know if I had I don't even know if I had a crash playing the entire game, to be completely honest. The game, as you said, the day it released, we played the game for almost 8 hours and we had no problems. And for some reason, that is impossible to achieve today. Look, Cyberpunk, I hyped you up on this channel. And you screwed me hard. So, I'm just going to say it. The game is a broken mess. It's not finished. Will it be great one day? Probably, but not today. And there's so many other games that have come out in the last 6 to 8 months.
Days Gone comes to mind.
There's so many games that are just broken like all hell. And even games that somewhat, like Outriders just dropped and it sort of works, but you know, they can't, you know, they're having an issue with the servers and, you know, people getting kicked off constantly. It's to the point now where I don't want to buy a game at launch. And so to think back to that night and realize, you know what, the game worked. It's insane. The game worked. And that shouldn't be a rare thing that, you know, gives it an extra, you know, bonus. But it has become the case in the last, I'd say, year, 2 years, maybe even three, that that's just the standard now. That you almost have to wait a couple weeks to see if it's worth waiting another 6 months to be patched up.
You're right. And it's not even like gaming has to be that way. I grew up having consoles, but my dad got me into PC gaming and tech hardware, like, you know, building computers and stuff pretty early. And even back in the early days of internet and patches and things like that, computer games still shipped more complete, and patching again was about little bugs. You didn't ship a broken game that needed patches. You learned about bugs from at least in the PC world through the community playing, you know, the community that's playing the game writes to the company on their forums or whatnot and says, hey, we're all running into this issue. You should do something about it. And because it was computer, it's installed and you could do patches. And now that carries on to today. But like you said, they're shipping unfinished games. And I'm with you, Brian. I don't know why it takes Square so long. Square Enix, sorry about the guys over at the Enix side, I know. I don't get it, Brian. How, like, there's a difference between shipping a game that might still need a little fine tuning and you need a million people to play through it to find those bugs. Because let's face it, consoles are just modern day PCs. PlayStation's been running Linux since the 2, basically, and Microsoft does custom versions of Windows basically for its Xbox. It's computer games, but dude, you're right. They can't ship a complete game. Why?
They just can't. I mean, I bought what was it? Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and it wasn't horrible. For some people, it was worse than others, but it was very buggy. But the game played. I will say it played. But it crashes about every 2 to 3 hours when it first came out. And that was pretty normal. And that's become sort of the normal thing lately, is that if you buy a new game, you know that it's going to crash every handful of hours. That's insane to me. That wasn't always the case. And Final Fantasy somehow, they pulled it off. It the game ran. The game runs, you know. And I think it had a few little patches here and there, but there was never any moment where I felt, oh, man, I hope they fix this. So, you know, that's worth praising at this point in the world of gaming. It just is, you know. It's
fact we played eight hours without being frustrated, restarting, rebooting, reconnecting, downloading a patch in the middle of the play, or none of that happened.
If we had done any other game that has come out in the last year like that, we would have had to spend at least 30 minutes talking about issues.
Yeah.
It's just the way, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the fact that we didn't even have to talk about bugs when we did our initial review is pretty crazy in, you know, 2020, 2021.
Yeah. And I still, like, I know where the translation issues are in the OG game. I know I keep a list because my memory's not as great today, but I know which materia stats are broken, you know, where it says you'll get this percentage increase, but it doesn't actually do it. And I know all the little things that are broken in the old original one, and you work your way around those and all. But yeah, it's such a big deal. And God, just how many games and you talked speedrunning and glitches. How many imperfect games did we play growing up on carts that we didn't even know were broken, you know?
Yeah.
Cause they were that well tested and run through that, because you don't get a chance to patch those. You have to ship the best item you possibly can. So maybe that's something we need to get back to, gaming industry. What do you guys think? Maybe instead of trying to churn out a Call of Duty every year, plus a Black Ops every year, plus supporting old shit and old zombie maps every year. Like, why don't you do Call of Duty every two or three years, like every other, you know, entertainment thing there is, and spend some time on other properties, other games, and shipping complete products to your customers. I don't know. I know I would be pretty pissed if I went to see Avengers Endgame and the effects were glitchy. I saw the mocap suit through the overlaid CGI. Like, I can't imagine watching a movie like that. Why should I play a game like that?
Well, if you're gonna release a game as this broken, release it with that as saying, hey, this is a work in progress. You know what I mean? Like, there are games that do, like Subnautica, you know, there's a couple games out there that was like, hey, the game's not done, but, you know, you give us 20, 30 bucks and we'll let you play what we have and we'll continually update it for free for you. And you do that.
Yeah.
You know, release the game with that in mind, saying, hey, we're not going to charge you the full, whatever the, you know, $60, $70. We'll charge you $40 and the game's not done and we'll be upfront about it. And you could be part of that, you know, process. Just be upfront. Tell us it's not done. Don't make it lie like to me.
Again, it's consoles are doing it more these days. Betas, open betas, and stuff like that, and even alpha testing. But that's something computer gamers have been doing for decades, guys. Decades. Free beta, free alpha. You get the game for free. You get to test it out, all of that stuff. And all you got to do is write back about, I've done it for several games. It's fun. And you're right. You don't even have to give it for free. CD Projekt Red is a great example. They did try to tell everybody that the game was broke. They did try to say that, look, it's not, up to par on these consoles. What you guys have seen is shit running on like RTX 30 series, you know, with a Core i9 9700K unlocked, water cooled, clocking 5.1 gigahertz, and you're running, you know, dual channel 3600 DDR4 and all that, and that's what they showed you, but they screwed the pooch.
And Witcher, I mean, to be slightly fair, and I'm still pissed at them, but Witcher 3 was pretty busted when it initially came out. People forget that. It took quite a while for them to fix it. It wasn't this broken as say Cyberpunk, but it did have a lot of issues, and its entire menu system and everything was completely reworked over like a year or two later. So like I said, will the game be good one day? Perhaps, but it should have done some kind of early access thing where they were like, yeah, hey, sort of like what the new Baldur's Gate's doing, where they're like, game's not finished, but you know, you can play it.
Yeah.
And that's what it should have been. But saying all that, Final Fantasy VII Remake, the game worked. You know.
Great job, Square Enix. Thank you guys so much. Let's talk about beating the game, Brian, and dive into a little bit about the story and reflecting on it a year ago, because they changed things up. This is not a true remake. We're going to see some differences here. I'm excited about it, man. Like when you, and full spoilers for those that haven't played the game, we're going to talk about the story. So if you are sold to play it and you don't want it spoiled yet, you know, come back and listen after you play. But Barrett dying, that's when I knew. I was like, whoa, hold on. What's going on here? And then Wedge being alive and then seeing Biggs at the end, all of that. Beating this game, man, what was it like for you reliving things and then noticing something's not right, something's different?
Well, it was that, like, okay, you know, we kept wondering why. So first of all, the fact that the game is just literally the opening of the original, but it stretched out quite a bit. So there was always a lot of questions as to how exactly. And of course we got, you know, a lot of the new side quests and, you know, various things to do in the game. But the fact that, okay, so they are changing some stuff. They're adding this, they're adding that. Some characters are doing things a little differently. I enjoyed it. I like the fact that I wasn't able to predict everything that was going to happen. Going forward, it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of possibilities with them doing it this way. I love the finale as far as the fights and the last, you know, 30 yeah. minutes or so of the game. The gameplay, I thought it was really cool. You essentially are doing what was that movie? What was the animated film?
I know it's a Fantasia.
No. The Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, Advent
Children. There you go. You basically get to do that at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's like, hey, that cool battle at the end of that. Well, you get to play that. And I was like, all right, this
very Kingdom Hearts 2.
Exactly. That ending sequence, that ending little short footage where you're sort of seeing things and you're like, oh shit, what does that mean? I think that's the more interesting thing. What does a lot of it mean? We don't really completely know yet, you know.
Mm-hmm. We got some theories, like, you know, Aerith and Sephiroth, and when you play Final Fantasy VII, Brian, do you rename her Aerith or do you keep it Aeris?
I've never been a stickler for the whole Aerith thing, so I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
There's this idea that her and Sephiroth remember the first time around, or a time around. Like, there's even the idea that this might not be that the OG game isn't necessarily the only time that planet has faced this crisis. And I am kind of interested in exploring that idea that Sephiroth might have done this a couple times. Maybe it's tougher each time around, because he figures out variables and things like that. Because you get some of that here. He's pushing people towards one direction, trying to slow them down over here, changing things up, almost like he's looking for what can I change this time to win. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, he's always been this. You know, when you rank the top villains in video games, he's on that list always. And I think this game seemed to say, you know what? Not only is he on that list, we want to push him a little higher. You know, we want to make him even more, you know, of a villain. And the fact that him realizing, you know what? I lose. And can I change that? Mm-hmm. And sort of asking that question and then sort of approaching the, you know, potentially that's where the story is going. I don't know. But I did like the idea of it. So yeah, it's exciting. I have a few concerns, but not so much with the story, and I guess we'll get to that later in terms of the future of the games. But I do have a few concerns.
Okay. One of the other things I really enjoyed, you know, beating this game, playing through this whole game, is some of those expansions, and the best one to me is Jesse. By far, I love every moment she's on screen. And it hurts almost as bad seeing Aerith die in the original losing Jesse in this game. They did such an amazing job fleshing her out, and Biggs and Wedge, but Jesse specifically, dude. It blew me away that they gave her that type of attention. What'd you think about that? And what was the most surprising or pleasant surprise in the game for you?
Yeah, I really did enjoy that section. There's a good big section of the game that's just devoted to her in many ways and sort of that team. And I'll be honest with you, of reflecting on it, that's one of my favorite sections of the whole game.
Yeah.
Sort of that little side content, because it, you know, you're hanging out with these characters in the original, you know, they're there, but it's, you know, it's, they're not given a whole lot to do or say, and the being fleshed out, like you said, losing a character like that hurts, because you feel for them. You understand where they came from. You understand what it is they wanted to accomplish in life, you know, their goals, their ambitions. And, it's a role-playing game. It's supposed to have that. I'm supposed to be invested in this world, these characters, the events going on. I need to feel for them, and if, you know, and this game really, you know, took the time to do that. So yeah, Jesse is definitely one of the tops. I love the, you know, the parachuting sequence. I thought it was great. There was a little comedy angle, and then just the visually, the game. I mean, even the game's gorgeous, and that's a great sequence. Yeah, I too enjoyed that.
I would have to say that the most disappointing part of this game,
pull-ups.
What's that?
I said the stupid ass pull-up game.
Oh God! You still haven't.
No, it's the only I have beaten every. I have maxed out and won every single game. In side content, I did everything you could do in this game just about, except that. I didn't beat it at its highest thing.
I know, piece it's of tough. Shit. It's tough, man. I like that they added that with Tifa, though. That was cool. I was so stoked about doing the squat competition, and then in the trailers leading up to the release, they show us this pull-up game, and I'm like, oh, that's so bad. And then you start playing it, and you're like, no, fuck this.
Yes.
I did have times where I was like, God damn, this is so linear. And why is it harder to grind? And you learn to kind of adapt to what they're doing. And I will say that those technical side things kind of grated on me at first, but the amazing combat system and the amazing story that they're telling definitely overrode that for me. Story and character wise, I don't think I have any real complaints. Some of the side quests, sure, they're silly, but it's an RPG, guy. We do silly shit in our regular lives. And like Brian said, you're supposed to be living in this world. You don't think there's going to be a Monday thing like, fuck, I got to go get my cat. It got out. You know, that happens. I actually kind of, it's an annoying and silly, but I like it was included, you know?
the cat thing was a little too early though. but yeah. I the only thing I think it was you. I can't really remember, but you were texting me and sort of because you were burning through it a lot quicker than I was. And you were saying, hey, this chapter, that's grind time. These chapters, yeah. You can't really grind. Because the game is structured a little odd. You're right. There are certain sections where it's like, all right, spend some time exploring and doing side quests and doing some grinding. And like, and then there are parts, entire stretches of the game where it's like, no, you're just going to sort of, it's a little more linear. I liked it. I thought it was balanced pretty well, though. There have been Final Fantasy games, 13, that failed miserably in that balance. But this one, I thought, did a pretty decent job of doing both. You know.
Yeah. So we talked about the things that we really liked, talked about a couple things that we didn't necessarily like so much. Overall, such a great game. Let's talk about what is it? Reintegrate or whatever? Let's see here. FF7RDLC. What is it called again? Integrate. I don't know where I got retrograde from. Anyway, hey, it's Integrate. We're going to get Yuffie, a character from the country of Wutai, which Shinra and Midgar were in conflict with, and yada yada. We're gonna get some DLC with her. That costs money. However, we are getting the free PS5 upgrade if you got the PS4 version. I'm not the world's biggest Yuffie fan. Yes, I do get her every playthrough. Yes, I usually get her to at least level 50. Sometimes I don't use her past that. Sometimes I only get like 5 characters to 99 and everyone else to 50 and I'm done. They're high enough that I can use them if need be. What do you think about the Integrate DLC? And I am so happy with the PS5 free upgrade. What's your opinion on that as well, Brian?
The upgrade, definitely a very positive thing. As far as Yuffie is one of those characters that fans either don't give a shit about at all or are huge fans. You know, it's very, I find you either love her or you don't. I always get her, but I rarely use her. And so that's sort of my stance on it. I watched the trailer, I watched the footage and everything, and I had a few questions. I mean, it looks cool and I want to play it, but it makes me question, well, what is how are we going to do this series? Because, you know, we knew this was going to be broken up into multiple chapters. We weren't clear on how many. So how many, you know, games were until the series is done. But now we're adding DLC. And it seems substantial. I don't think it's huge, but it is substantial enough to where it's...
You said 2 or 3 chapters. I think they said 7-8 hours, maybe.
So if... Okay. So I have questions. When the second part comes out, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 or whatever they're going to call it, will that also have DLC as well? Well, is it going to be 3 games? Is it going to be 5 games? They've still not laid out for us exactly what the structure of this series is going to be. So the DLC sort of caught me off guard. I think we had talked about this in the past. One of our concerns is that each chapter going forward would be 12 hours. And would get shorter and shorter. This first one was a nice big chunk.
Easy 30, what would you say, Brian? Easily, not 100%, just a good solid playthrough, 30 hours?
Yes, easily. And so now that we're getting DLC, and my question is, are we going to get more DLC? Is this the only one? What does that mean for the next chapter? How is this thing going to go? You know, we joked about this, we're going to be playing this for 10, 20 years. I don't know. So as much as I'm like, yeah, cool, I want to play it, I would love for them to give me a better idea or at least tell me what they're thinking in terms of their strategy for how this series is going to continue. So that's sort of where I'm at with it. And it looks as if this piece is, you know, it's going to be sort of a side thing, and it's going to have its own, I guess combat's going to be slightly mm-hmm. different. There's going to be different elements to it, which is interesting.
And that kind of worries me, the combat part. Because Jammer had said he wanted to see, like, new combat each game. And I was like, no, this is one game broken up into multiple parts. Sure, I like that each character has different mechanics, but I don't want to see them shake up the system every game. Especially since they gave us so much that you and I asked these questions on day zero. You know, do we have a level cap? Yes, it's 50. Will we be able to carry that over? Yes, we will. Will we be able to carry our save over the next system? Will the next system release an upgraded version? Like, we got a lot of good, solid answers to that, but I don't want to see the battle system change dramatically game to game. Do you, Brian?
No, because my hope was that it would all, at some point in the future, you'd be able to sit down and they would release it in such a way where you could play through the entire thing and it flow well. If you radically change each game, I just don't know how that'll work. Now we did get, like you said, with the PS5 upgrade, we did sort of get an answer there. And I would assume the PS5 is going to be around for 5+ years. And mm-hmm. I would hope that we're finished with this game within that time frame. So
yeah,
we'll see.
God,
but
could you imagine this, you know, Final Fantasy VII remake, you know, final chapter or whatever they call it, coming out on the PS6? Like, oh, I'd be so mad.
I hope not. We still don't know how many games it'll be. You know, they haven't given us a solid answer. So like I said, the DLC announcement really caught me off guard, but it made me say, what does that mean? Is there going to be another one? I don't know.
I don't know. I do know this. You guys, I will take smaller chapters if you can get them out fast enough and you drop the price $10 to $15. If I'm getting less than 20 hours of good gameplay, it better be like a $39.99 game. If you're going to charge me $60, $70 for 10, 15 hours, I'm going to be pissed no matter how fast you get it out. That's fucked up. I like your idea of like a definitive collection that you can, like you said, play seamlessly through. And I think we might get, I think that this free PS5 upgrade is their kind of way of doing that. And I think we will see via PlayStation Network or PlayStation Store or whatever. I think Square Enix and Sony will reward us in the end with basically a free, complete, playable version. I get that feeling from the PS5 stuff. Do you?
Look, the PS5 announcement, that was great because, yeah, it makes me feel that, okay, they're saying that we're going to, you know, if you played this game, you can continue it over to the next gen. But I don't know. I still have quite, you know, one of our things I think we asked in our last video on this a year ago was, okay, with the next chapter or the next part or whatever we're going to call it, we have to start thinking about open world.
Yes.
And what does that look like in the way they're doing this?
Scale, yeah.
You know, or do they even do that? Is there a way they could do it without an open world? And I don't know. And these are the questions that I wish they would give us an answer to. And
yeah,
I don't know, man.
You know, before we get into the next entry, Let's go ahead and hear from our wonderful sponsors over at Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you guys so much for sponsoring this LRM special podcast on Final Fantasy VII Remake. Be sure to check out growgeneration.com, and the link is in the descriptions below. The next entry, one of the biggest things you and I have been complaining about anytime this game comes up in any conversation is, why the fuck did you guys name it Remake? Like, we got it. Maybe you originally in 2015 thought you were going to release the whole thing. Maybe. I don't know. But this definitely should have been renamed Final Fantasy VII Midgar.
Yep.
And then the next entry, I have no idea what you would name it, but I sure as hell hope it's not Remake Part 2. Like,
or they'll get Remake.
Kingdom
Night
Hearts
Distance 2.2, or yeah, some stupid.
Oh man, don't do that. They probably will. The next entry we've talked a little bit. That is probably the biggest question, Brian. Like you said, overworld. It's in almost every Final Fantasy game there is. A big open world map. That's how you get city to city, dungeon to dungeon. 15 managed to do open world and dungeons in a very, very clever way. Your open world map is very huge in scale, but it's the way that they did the dungeons. You know, you go to this cave or this building or this town or this city, and you once you go past a certain entrance, the open world is taken out, and now you're just in the dungeon. The system's only rendering the dungeon and all of that. I don't know, because 15 takes place on three different continents, but you're never, the world is never rendering more than one continent at a time, right? And two of those continents are much smaller maps than the main place you're on. But I think that is potentially the model they'll go with. I just don't. By the time you get to the end of disc two, Brian, and you've got, you know, getting into disc three in the OG game, and you got the high wind, and the whole world is open. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Are we gonna get the high wind?
Well, that's another thing. Vehicles, absolutely. That was something I was thinking, because they were in. I mean, we get the motorcycle sequences, which were great. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed those a lot more than I thought I
yes.
would. They were really well done in the remake. But
although I will complain about that final bike boss, you have to learn to do that
mad.
On your
yeah.
If I hadn't told you,
that's
how
true.
Much longer would it have taken?
I would have had to watch something, because you have to be perfect. But it was frustrating, because it's one of those things where once you know,
yeah,
then it's like, oh, this is easy. But until, yep. yeah, that was a bit frustrating. But, and it came out of nowhere. It was like, yeah, you're doing this now, and you better figure this shit out.
Yeah. The fuck?
You've not had to do this before, but now you do. But with open world, you need vehicles. And so I'm thinking about it like, okay, well, how is that going to work? 15, I think it's a good model. I think you're right. 15 works. But it's a big, like you said, man.
It doesn't scale.
It does not.
15 is big, but it's not as big
no,
as Gaia.
Not at all.
7.
So I don't know, man. I mean, they have to at this point know what they will or will not do as far as that.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, they haven't told us yet, but I don't know.
What is your personal hope? If you were the director of this game, and you're breaking this game down into parts, What do you think is your next stop point? And how many parts, Brian, looking at the first part of Remake and where they fleshed things out, and you look at Turk characters we haven't met yet, like Elena, and we haven't gotten a lot of time with Sang, other characters that they can flesh out, Vincent, Yuffie, Cid. I can't wait to get to Rocket Town. And God, dude, the shit they could do with Cid and his wife, and the stuff that happens on the rocket. Oh my God. Point being, where do you stop the next chapter, and how many chapters does Brian Brantley make?
My original thought was 3, and the second one is Aerith to death. Mm-hmm. Or not death.
Or not.
Because like you that. Have to look at it from a story impact moment. And, okay, what makes sense? But I don't know, man. I just, the way the last disc plays out, I don't. Because would you do a fourth? I don't know. I want to say it should be 3, but I don't. If something tells me it's not going to be 3. It's going to be more.
I think so.
And if it's going to be more, I don't know where you stop.
Aerith's death seemed logical. I actually think the better part is completing the Temple of the Ancients.
Oh yeah, I mean.
And do it in four parts.
Four
parts,
and that's roughly what I was just thinking. Like, I could see that would make sense to me. Now, what would you say if? Do you think there's any chance that they radically change the game going forward? In terms of, in other words, will certain sections of the plot not even happen?
I think so. What parts? No. I take that back. I think we're still going to get every beat that we got in the original game. I even think we're going to get, like, I don't know how they'll do it. It might not be a full-blown minigame. The Condor Mountain, Fort Condor. Mm-hmm. Or, I even think we're going to get that. Dude, they gave us the cross-dressing material with Cloud. Yeah. I don't know if that's the proper phrase for a hetero male that, you know, dresses up as a girl for, you know, a secret mission, but sue me if it's politically incorrect. No, don't sue me. But we got that. So why wouldn't you have a cool, imagine if they changed it up a little bit and maybe made the Fort Condor thing look like a modern Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh yeah. That would be cool.
You know? So, I think we're going to get all the beats and then still get things expand. That's why I think four parts kind of makes sense. Cause then you look at, okay, where do you stop the next game? Cause after Aerith dies, you've only got a little bit till you get to the North Cave and the weapons release. And in my mind, that's part 3. Yeah. Is the weapons. I would probably close part 3 before your visit to the Northern Cave, I'd probably close it out after your visit to the Northern Cave. So part 4 would be Cloud lost in the life stream and coming back, fighting weapons, and taking on Sephiroth. That's how I think I would do it. But that's a shit ton of material for a part 4.
Yeah.
Dude, well, could it be 5?
See, and that's why I didn't even want to go there. Because, I mean, we had joked about that in the past. Like, could this be 5 parts? Because ideally, we were like 3 trilogy. But then you start really looking at the story and look at how the hell they turned Midgar into 30 mm-hmm. plus hours. So it's like, well, shit, man, it could be 5. But if it's 5, the problem with that, then we do legit get into the whole question of how long does it take? Because look, I don't expect the personally, they're going to be years and years between each game. There just will be. If it's 2 or 3 years per game or longer, I don't know, man.
5 years. That's, dude, that would mean that it would take Final Fantasy VII Remake longer to be completed than the Infinity Saga. From its inception to its completion.
Yeah.
Was 12 years from, like, inception, if you will, from the time Feige and them started working to get Iron Man made to the release of Far From Home. That would be highly disappointing.
If it's 5 parts, 13 to 15 years is not out of the question. it's 5 parts.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I also wonder how much assets get to carry over. And that's why I think it's dumb to change too much up. It's like you guys already have so much built in. Treat it like you do every other game. Carry those assets over and just put in the new dungeon, the new character, the new bad guy data. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, story-wise, you brought up a good point about Aerith, or not. I know what you were getting at, but do you think there's a chance that we might be given the opportunity to choose a character to sacrifice in Aerith's place?
Huh.
And if you're given that choice, what do you do?
That's interesting. I don't know. I told you in the, you know, we've talked about this. I don't have as much of a connection with Aerith as right. many do. So I'm like, whatever. Although she was way more, in this game, a little more appealing, mm-hmm. Being around her. And when I originally played the game, I never used her.
Yeah.
I just didn't. And so, but when the big event occurred, I was just like, oh, shit.
Well, it's because they OP Cloud on magic.
Yes, they did.
The original. He's your strongest magic user. He's your strongest defender and your strongest attacker. It's ridiculous.
That's what I used. And so, yeah, she was a character I just never used. And so it wasn't as big of a deal. But.
Yeah, Red and Kate, Ketchi, as it should be said, are both better at magic, I think, than she is too.
So
anyways,
and even, well, let's talk about that real briefly then. In this game, that was another complaint I had, was there were certain sections late in the game where you didn't get to pick your team, and yeah. and you sometimes would get screwed because, look,
you don't have a healer.
they would throw a weird dynamic at you in a boss, and you're like, how the fuck am I supposed to beat this, because I really, that's not my play style. And so yeah. the game forced you at certain points late game where you had to really adjust your play style based on who they allowed you to play as. That annoyed me a little bit. Now, you know, if you you can work through it. I played it on the did they have difficulties? I played it on whatever normal. I didn't. Yeah,
because so, hard is no,
that's right, items. You've been, yeah,
oh
shit.
My god.
Yeah, you did do that, but I worked through it. But it was a little annoying. I would take too long to go into it. But there was a Tales of Symphonia. There's a point in mm-hmm. that game where there was a particular character that you lose access to. I had invested everything in that character, and I was so pissed off that I stopped playing the game.
Wow,
I was so mad. But RPGs will do that, especially JRPGs. Yeah.
Look at Six. Look at what Six did. How many shocking moments, a death really early of a character that you can definitely put some time into it. My God, yeah. I think we're going to see that choice. And it's her whole don't fall in love with me. You understand if we walk past this point, there's no going back. Everything's different. And she even seems scared, almost like, I know if I die, we win. And she almost already seems set on dying. Like, we're going to beat Sephiroth again. And I have to be the one to do it, because that's how it happened before. I can see it happening where it's like, okay, are you going to put Tifa in her place? Are you going to put Barret in her place? Like, I can see that choice being given to us. If you're given the choice between killing one of those three, you stick with killing her, I'm guessing.
Tifa will never be sacrificed in my game. Unless I had to. Unless the game wouldn't, you know, it was the only way. So do you think that perhaps the direction this series could go will be where you'll make decisions where your game will play out different than other people's?
I think by the final part, whether that's 3, 4, 5, I kind of do. Ooh.
I'd be into that.
And it almost offers you the chance to play Final Fantasy VII while at the same time being able to explore. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. If I could have made a different choice, I would have done this. And the idea of getting to do that in this world, I don't need like 20 endings. I don't even need 4 or 3 endings, you know, maybe 2 or 3 different endings, so to speak, you know, I would be very, very cool with. And then individual chapters being drastically different depending on choices you make. I agree, Brian. I could get down with that.
Yeah, as a like Dragon Age fan, mm-hmm. and Mass Effect and stuff like that, you know, I do enjoy the choice that, you know, and the fact that this game, and you are right in the fact that they've sort of given the idea that some characters are aware of this potential cycle and that these things have happened before, and they want to change the future. It would make sense if the player themselves got to affect that change themselves. So that would be a cool mechanic.
Yeah. The one thing that is sad, that beautiful music, Uematsu is retiring. He's going to basically just kind of oversee the upcoming games. He's not going to actually be like composing as much. The music was awesome in this game, except for the broken Sector 6.
Thinking about Tifa.
Yeah, I know, right? Hold on. Other than the music in that, the music was great. I loved it. That'll be sad. On Tifa, guys, I will say this. All of you people that bitched about the very slightly smaller breasts that were originally designed, I hope you realize that she actually looks worse now than she did in that first trailer. Do you agree on that, Brian? Like, it's almost too much the way they have her now. Like, what they had originally fit, and she was still very, very, you know, so to speak, well endowed, I guess the older saying goes. And obviously wearing supportive undergarments that pushed down and supported so she could be athletic. I thought it was one of the stupidest things to complain about, and it actually looks bad. What do you think?
I mean, it's, look, her the design of the character, it's, you know, it is what it is.
She's eye candy. For
yes, and clearly, based on her design, based on the physicality.
Original drawings, yeah.
If they wanted to shrink down certain parts of her body even more, I don't care. Fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because the fact is, with the graphics and with the way this game is trying to be a little more realistic,
mm-hmm.
it does get pretty crazy with her as far as the design. So I don't know.
Like, all I
that
con-
yeah, people, yeah. I mean, yeah. People want to bitch about everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up. Talk an hour about a game that's now a year old. And Brian, its exclusivity is ending this week. Final Fantasy VII, for the very first time ever. No, correction, I forgot. They did the PC and now Switch and all that. But those all came later. We're going to see this game remake on the Xbox Series and Xbox One. What would that do you think? Do you think they will keep time exclusiveness going forward?
I don't really see, unless Sony is willing to, you know, pay out. I don't think so. I don't see the point in it. It's all about money, you know. If Sony's willing to put up the money, then yeah, sure. But at this point, like you said, I can play Final Fantasy 10, 12 on a Switch. So, you know, who cares in terms of the series? But, you know, it is a big franchise. It sells well. It makes a lot of money. And if Sony wants, you know, to put the money in to have that, then, you know, it makes sense for them to do that. But I don't know.
If they announced that part two was also a timed exclusive, do you think that would keep Xbox players from purchasing part one? That they would be like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna wait.
That's a great point, you know. Maybe. I mean, you know, Bethesda, I mean, this is a whole other topic, but, you know, they just signed, they're now part of Xbox, and there's gonna be a lot of RPGs going to the Xbox exclusively in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
So this could, if I'm Sony, I'm looking at that as well. If they want to maintain this level of, dominance, then maybe they should shell out a few extra bucks to maintain something like a Final Fantasy. So I don't know.
We shall see. I will be happy later this year, when the new chip manufacturers get spun up and we can start getting GPUs and consoles to people other than scalpers. I'm excited to get that PS5 with Aloy, Horizon for Forbidden West. But you are bet your ass that the very next game I play will be the upgrade version of 7, the remake. I think the best thing about it is that it the chapters on the replay, I can skip, you know, the Scorpion if I wanted to, and go to, you know, chapter whatever. I forget, what is it, like 3 when you get out of the first reactor, maybe? 2 or 3, something like that. I'm cool with it. I'm down. I'm excited, and I cannot wait to hear more about what they've got planned. Whether it's good or bad, I can't wait for it, because I need to know. I need to plan.
Yes,
I need to plan. Because I did put in. I had medical issues, and the virus ended up giving everyone a lot of time off. But I actually had military paid leave signed by my commander for this game's release, because I knew that I would want to do nothing. But, and I even told my wife and kid, I didn't do other than that podcast you and I did. I took that whole next week off of LRM. Oh God. Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us during this talk. Brian, any last words on Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Not just that it was a great time. And there's so few games that I play to completion these days as far as massive RPGs, and this was one that I did, and absolutely enjoyed it.
There you guys go. Check out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. YouTube channel, videos, interviews with A-class celebrities, podcasts, all sorts of amazing stuff. Hit subscribe, hit the bell. And, of course, our podcast network, wherever you get your podcasts from, Spotify, Apple, Google, SoundCloud has, like, our whole back library, 800, 900 plus podcasts on there. So, guys, go subscribe, follow us. You can find me at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram and at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Brian, where can the good folks find some more stuff that you do?
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos. Check it out.
There you guys go. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back on Monday morning with a brand new LR Mornings, and I hope to see you guys there. Have a good one.